Margaret Simon's life turns upside down when her parents move the family from New York City to suburban Farbrook, New Jersey. At 11 years old, Margaret isn't just navigating a new home and school. She's standing at the threshold of adolescence, caught between childhood and the mysterious teenage world ahead. The move feels especially jarring because her parents made this decision without consulting her, leaving Margaret feeling powerless about her own life. Behind this relocation lies a deeper tension. Margaret's father is Jewish, her mother Christian, and she's been raised without formal religious affiliation. Her beloved Grandma Sylvia, her Jewish grandmother, has been a dominant influence, paying for private school and summer camp. Now, Margaret suspects her parents moved partly to distance her from Grandma's influence. Within hours of arriving, Margaret meets Nancy Wheeler, a neighborhood girl who immediately comments on Margaret's flat chest, demonstrates pillow-kissing practice, and displays an extensive makeup collection. Nancy also introduces Margaret to suburban social codes, wear loafers without socks on the first day of school to avoid looking like a baby. These seemingly trivial details reveal how navigating pre-adolescence requires mastering unwritten rules of belonging. That night, alone in her new bedroom, Margaret turns to her private ritual, conversations with God. "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret," she begins, asking for help growing up. This intimate dialogue becomes her way of processing experiences throughout her journey, revealing her innermost thoughts, fears, and questions about who she really is. Margaret joins the four PTSs, Preteen Sensations Club, with Nancy, Janie, and Gretchen. They transform development into shared rituals with rules about undergarments, physical changes, and social interests. Their discussions reveal common uncertainties about growing up. They gossip about Laura Danker, whose early development attracts unfair judgments, highlighting how maturity brings unwanted attention. When the group learns about Margaret's interfaith background, they struggle with religious assumptions. Together, they study anatomy books and magazines, discussing body expectations. Their activities include confidence-building exercises and tracking interests, with Philip Leroy becoming their unanimous crush. Dynamics shift when Nancy falsely claims reaching a developmental milestone first. During a New York trip, Margaret discovers the truth and promises confidentiality, strengthening their friendship through authenticity rather than competition. The club represents how girls navigate physical changes, social expectations, and emerging identities within close friendships. Margaret's relationship with her changing body exemplifies the adolescent feeling of betrayal by physical development. Nancy's comment about her flat chest immediately makes Margaret see her body as something to be evaluated. The bra becomes a powerful symbol in Margaret's quest for womanhood. When her club makes wearing bras mandatory, she asks for one despite having no physical need. This first grow bra fitting becomes an initiation ritual, with Margaret later stuffing it with socks, capturing adolescent impatience perfectly. Margaret's anxiety intensifies around physically mature Laura Danker. Freddie's mockery comparing Margaret's undeveloped body to Laura's stings deeply. Later, Margaret discovers how early development has been painful for Laura, revealing how girls at both developmental extremes suffer from unwanted attention. Margaret's fixation extends to private rituals, examining herself in mirrors, and performing nightly bust-increasing exercises while chanting, "I must increase my bust," revealing the magical thinking that often accompanies puberty. Margaret's religious exploration becomes a meditation on identity. Born to Jewish and Christian parents who faced family opposition to their interfaith marriage, she was raised without religious affiliation, with the understanding she'd choose her path when older. When classmates discover Margaret isn't religious, their confusion prompts her to question her status, asking God, "I just want to know what religion I am." Margaret attends both Jewish services with Grandma Sylvia and Presbyterian Church with Janie, finding them surprisingly similar. When introduced as having no religion, she notices the minister's hopeful look, suggesting how religious communities view the unaffiliated as potential converts. After confronting Laura Danker, a guilt-ridden Margaret follows her to church but flees when the priest speaks, revealing her association of religion with moral guidance. Tension erupts when her grandparents make competing claims about her religious identity. Caught between these demands, Margaret declares she needs neither religion nor God, though she maintains private conversations with God throughout, a personal spirituality separate from organized religion. In Mr. Benedict's classroom, authority is constantly tested. Margaret reveals her uncertainty about male teachers when completing phrases like, "I think male teachers are," writing, "they're the opposite of female teachers." The classroom functions as a social hierarchy laboratory. When students disrupt class with bird peeps, Mr. Benedict rearranges desks, placing Margaret next to feared Laura Danker. During a test rebellion where students submit anonymous papers, Mr. Benedict outsmarts them by returning graded tests with everyone's name anyway. Mr. Benedict's year-long project provides Margaret a framework to explore her religious identity. Embarrassed by her simple letter explaining her religious experiments, she submits it when everyone leaves and runs out crying afterward, frustrated by her increasing emotional sensitivity. At the Thanksgiving dance, Margaret experiences sweaty hands while dancing with Philip Leroy. At Norman Fishbein's party, she receives her first kiss from Philip, quick kisses unlike the movies, which she later exaggerates to Nancy, using romantic experiences as social currency. Family relationships form the foundation of Margaret's developing identity, with each relative representing different values. Grandma Sylvia brings New York deli food, embodying the urban Jewish culture Margaret left behind. Their special bond manifests through secret nightly calls, revealing tensions with her parents. The unexpected appearance of the Hutchinses, Margaret's maternal grandparents, who disowned her mother for marrying outside their Christian faith, creates conflict. Their conservative dress and Christian symbols contrast sharply with Grandma Sylvia's worldview. Their insistence that Margaret is Christian directly contradicts Sylvia's belief that she is Jewish. This family triangle, Jewish grandmother, Christian grandparents, and secular parents, embodies Margaret's central question: who am I and where do I belong? These competing claims push Margaret to begin forming her own identity rather than simply inheriting one. In the final chapters, Margaret develops an integrated sense of self that embraces complexity. Crisis emerges when her grandparents clash over her religious identity, Christians versus Jewish. Caught between competing claims, Margaret temporarily declares she's nothing. In her letter to Mr. Benedict, Margaret admits not enjoying her religious experiences and believes she won't decide on a religion soon. She concludes children should learn about religion early, as 12 is too late, a mature reflection on identity development. The final chapter brings resolution when Margaret gets her first period. Her excited call to her mother creates a moment of female connection across generations. Margaret proudly announces she's been practicing for months, transforming anxiety into preparation. This physical milestone coincides with Margaret's spiritual reconciliation. After temporarily stopping her conversations with God, she instinctively returns. "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. I know you're there, God. I know you wouldn't have missed this for anything. Thank you, God." Margaret discovers growing up isn't about finding perfect certainty. It's about developing courage to face life's questions honestly.